Thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
The pen and the paper, that was the way we used to put down our thoughts or keeping a diary. But now we are blogging, or more and more of us are blogging anyway. It's a chance for us to tell the world about what we are up to, what shoes we're wearing, what's in our mind, and we can be as serious or as funny as we like. Now today, I'm going to chat blogs with Anna Tyler, who is the chair of RNIB and has the Blind Truth blog. Anna, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Alan. It's lovely to be here.
Blogging, I had a look at some of your blog today. I've only recently started reading blogs, and I find them an interesting snapshot into people's lives. Is that what gave you the idea to start doing something like this?
It came about in a sort of rather round the houses way, because a friend of mine, Joanna Lewis, writes for the Chronicle, which is a paper local to me, and said to me, a slot has come up for another columnist, why don't you have a go? And so I did, but it was felt that my kind of subject matter and my style was a little bit beyond the readers of the local paper. So I then started just playing around with ideas. And at the same time that I was doing that, I was also doing a stand-up comedy course. I think anyone who knows me will know I love to laugh. I love the intellectual game of humour. I think it is wonderful. So I found myself telling stories, and the guy I was doing the course with really encouraged me to keep going with my writing. He thought they were great, and so I did. I mean, I think that was a little overgenerous, because some of them, particularly the early ones, are pretty unformed. But it was really much more of an intellectual exercise to begin with, and having fun. And very, very quickly turned into talking about something which I think sometimes can be very funny, and sometimes can be pretty serious, and sometimes making a point. And there is something about the challenge, the ridiculousness of life, and particularly some of the attitudes that, well, you will know yourself, Alan, that we all encounter along the way, that I just felt the drive to start talking about. And it wasn't a conscious decision. It just flowed.
I was looking at some of the blogs, and it's kind of interesting the way you use humour to get sometimes some serious points across, and the variety of stories. You know, there's everything from casting your vote independently in privacy, our constitutional right, to poo bags hanging on trees, to the challenges of finding a seat on a bus. But there's a serious message in all of these, but the humour probably opens that serious message up to many, many more people.
I think in this context, it's really helpful to use humour in this way. And, you know, as I say, I didn't set out to do it, but it does highlight the absolute ridiculousness of particular prejudices, and also particular habitual ways of behaving towards blind and partially sighted people. And sometimes just the downright stupidity, like the hanging of poo bags from trees. I mean, I don't suppose anybody thought that somebody was going to walk into them. They were put there as a sort of visual signal, I suppose, to remind people to pick them up on the way home. And I love the ridiculousness of that.
There's one particular one I want to talk about, actually, just to mention, Anna. And you tell a little story about getting onto the bus during COVID. And then making your way to the seat, and suddenly people who are normally quiet, no, you can't sit here. The next person, no, you can't sit here. But no one said there's a free seat there. Everyone was just immediately, you can't sit beside me. And there's a kind of message in there, isn't it? That all it takes is for someone to say there's a spare seat there for you.
Actually, that's a really good point, Alan. I hadn't thought about that story in that way. You've spun a new light on it. And if what I've made people do in the way that you've done is to think about what the consequences of those actions are, then that's a good thing. So maybe that's a message I take back with me to external affairs at RNIB, and say in our messaging to the rest of the world, as things start to open it up again, don't just stop at you can't sit here. Actually, take that opportunity to create some new habits in our fellow passengers and tell us where we can sit.
Nothing worse than sitting on a commuter.
I have done it myself, actually. I mean, there are laps that one would happily sit on, and there are laps that I rather regret, and commuters are definitely in the latter category.
Do you get a situation where you just immediately think, I'm going to write about this, that there's, I've got a great story I can tell and a great message I can get across? Or do you have to think about things, about what you're going to do, or is there a degree of spontaneity in there?
I think it happens in a number of ways. Sometimes something will happen and you just know instantly, oh, this is a story for the telling. And on other occasions, you don't even consciously think about it. You might go away and it begins to form subconsciously and then pops up as something that makes me chuckle or shake my head. And on other occasions, I think I'm exercised about a particular issue. So I am exercised about access to voting. I think that's absolutely critical at the core of our citizenship, that democratic right. And then sometimes, you know, something will happen and you'll think, oh, that's a really good way to talk about it. It's a really good way into it.
Is it an accessible way to do it? Does it work accessibly? Is it easy for you to create the blogs?
So the way I tend to do it, I always write to 620 words, and usually I'm within a couple of words, and I write the first draft usually very quickly, within half an hour. Then I go away and leave it, come back the next day and tweak it, and then away we go. So it's a bit of fun, it's a bit of satire, it's a social commentary. I hope it's also a little bit provocative, so I don't need to pore over rewrites for hours on end. I think that's the point about blogs. They are fast to write, and they come with typos and all of those kind of spelling errors that WordCheck doesn't pick up. So I shan't apologise for all of those little quirks. It's part of it.
They are a great read, even the going for the COVID jag as well. If people would like to take a look at the blogs, Anna, how do they do that?
Just type in at your search engine, The Blind Truth blog, and up it will pop. I'm not quite done yet, although I am conscious that the risk of repetition, as my son would unceasingly remind me, is ever present.
Interesting, someone reminds you constantly about repetition. There you go. Anna, they are a great read. I would encourage people to have a look at them. And thank you for telling us all about them on R&IB Connect Radio.
Oh, thank you, Alan. It's been great.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.